Good afternoon. Okay, a little bit too, because I get excited, so you don't need to be too loud. Well, it's good to be here. Today is Obon, right? Festival of the Dead. Is that a good translation, right? Kind of a scary holiday, but it's colorful in Hiroshima Prefecture, you know? Yeah. If you go to the graveyards around here, they have the Bontoro. And, you know, they're kind of lantern-looking things. And there's so many colors and little things flying off. And every year I go up to a graveyard in Otake. And it's huge. If you've seen some of my pictures online, you can see this graveyard is just huge. And it's very boring, except at Obon, when everybody puts these colorful lanterns. And right in the middle of all, they look like Fernando's shirt. That's what the graveyard looks like, just like that shirt. Yeah, that's an Obon shirt. That's why you wore it, right? Except right in the middle, there's some white ones, the white lanterns. And usually the people who put up the white lanterns put a lot, maybe because their color, well, white is a color, but it's not, you know, vivid colors. And I go every year, and people are so polite, and I'm there with two or three cameras and lenses and taking pictures, and they really think I'm nuts, I'm sure. And at the very top of this huge graveyard in Otake is one small grave, and it's all the way at the top and as far as you can go without going off the hill. And there's a fence, and right there, and it's small, and it's kind of weak colored. It's a one kind of like an American tombstone almost, and it's got a cross inlaid in that tomb, and it's very old. And it says in Japanese, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And it's I think Mr. Nakano who is there, and I really would love to know the history of this guy who's way up on the top, above all these other, and his doesn't have Bontoro, by the way. Oh, it's very interesting, and I love going up there every year. I haven't gone this year. It's just been too hot, and I'm getting old, so. And last year when I came back and was showing my wife and my son the pictures, my mother-in-law said, "Yame nasai." Stop taking pictures of the graveyard, you know. But I may go back. Today, we're not going to talk about death or life or war. This is the 15th, you know, so should be talking about peace and things like that. But this year, I've chosen to continue to talk from Colossians. In our Wednesday Bible study in Inokuchi, it's kind of Inokuchi Itsukaichi, we are studying the book of Colossians, and we have 7, 8 people studying with us. We had a new member on Wednesday night. Daniel dropped by and joined us for our study on Wednesday night. And my wife has been joining us as well. And we have 6 young people who work in the area coming to the Bible study, and we're enjoying going through about one verse. Last week we set a record for, I think we went through 3 verses or so in the 1.5 hours, and it's very nice. If you're in Inokuchi area, you could join. Makiko, you can join us if you're free on Wednesday night. So with your Filipino team, worship team, they're always there. So let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 12. Let me read as you follow along. Let me just set it up first. Paul wrote this. Paul was probably in prison in Rome. Some people think he was in another city, but probably in Rome. He wrote this from Rome in prison, and he's in prison with a few other believers. And he wrote this to the church at Colossae. We don't have any evidence that Paul ever went to Colossae, but he heard about the faith of the Colossian believers from their pastor. And we're going to read about their pastor here. I think this guy was their pastor, and he came to visit Paul in prison. Please don't think of prisons in modern sense. prisons in those days, people were thrown in a dungeon, basically, in a dirty place. They were chained to their prison guards, especially Paul, because Christianity was spreading. They thought maybe the prison, the guards were necessary so that the Christians would not come and break him out of jail, because Paul had a history of escaping from jail, not by any force, but they didn't know that. So he was probably in a dirty place, dependent on people bringing him food and clean clothes, and chained to a couple of guards that probably didn't shower often. And it was a pretty tough place to be. And that's the setting. He's writing a letter to a church that he's heard about from their pastor. So let me begin reading again. "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that came to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit." So see, that's how Paul and his companions heard. "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light." Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this opportunity to get together and study. Lord, the believers at Colossae were not much different than we are. The city was not much different than Hiroshima was. There were a young church growing and learning, and we don't know how many believers, but they were eager to learn, and they had a pastor that loved them and cared for them and wanted them to grow. And this letter that you've given to us as well, Lord, has some very valuable teaching right from your heart, we know, Lord. We ask that you would open up our hearts today to understand and receive your word. Lord, change us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, some people would read these two long sections of Scripture and get a different feeling for what Paul is saying here. We can see the beautiful part of it is that Paul is very thankful to God for the church at Colossae, and that he's excited because of their faith, and he's very eager to pray for them. But the first thing I want us to know is, notice though, is if we go to the second section, and starting in verse 9, Paul says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will." And in verse 10, "so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way, bearing fruit, bring strength, and have great endurance and patience." It's kind of a list of things, isn't it? And usually you get two reactions to this kind of thing. When we see this, we think, oh, Christian life, a to-do list. It's like, you know, tomorrow I got to go to work, or I have to start preparing this, and I have my own to-do list in my denshi techo or my paper memo book, and you know, it's a to-do list, and I've always got too many things to do and not enough time to do them, and already, you know, I'm feeling kind of, you know, this Christian lifestyle is already tough. Here's another one. And we start thinking, another list. That's one reaction to a list in the Bible of what we should do and how we should act and how we should behave and how we shouldn't behave. And then there's another way we can react to this, because Paul prays in the beginning, in verse 9 of this section, in the other, what we read too earlier, he said he's praying, but here he says, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you, right? Now, somebody will read that and think, okay, Paul, the pastor of all Christianity right now, you know, in the Colossian church, is praying for them. And he's praying that God will fill them. Well, what happens to you when you're being filled? What do you have to do to be filled? When you have a jar on the table and you fill it with something, what does it do? It just receives the filling. It's an empty jar. You fill it up. The jar does nothing. And that's what the other reaction to this can be. When we read this as believers, we think, Paul, my pastors, my friends, I'm praying that God would fill me with all his understanding, all his wisdom, so that I can live a life worthy of him. What do I have to do for that to happen? The same thing as any vessel that would be filled with anything. We just have to receive what God has for us. We just have to receive that filling. All that the Spirit, all the wisdom, all the understanding that the Spirit can give us, Paul is praying for these believers to be filled. They don't have to do anything. They don't have to work. They don't have to sweat. They don't have to pray, say the Lord's Prayer 10 times. They don't have to go to church, go to Bible studies. They don't have to be faithful. They don't have to sweep the church, clean the church. They don't have to work and exercise spiritually or socially to get this to happen. So you can read this list and say, wow, God's going to fill me, and all of these things are just going to happen in my life. Or you can think, what do I have to do? Okay, I've got to add something else to my list. Man, I got to endure. Okay, God, help me to endure, because I'm not enduring very well right now. Bear fruit? Okay, let's see. What are those fruit? What is that list? There's another list somewhere. And we all know the other list is in Galatians, and we think, oh, man, another list. Well, first of all, Paul is very thankful. He's thankful to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, when we pray for you, because he's heard of their faith. He's just so happy for them that he's giving him this list of the good things that's going to happen to them. He's being descriptive of what's going to happen, not prescriptive. He's not saying, you must do these things. This is your list of to-dos. I heard from Epaphras, and this is your life, and you know, if you do these all these things, you're going to be cool. He doesn't say that at all. He's just so happy for them. We're so glad to know that you've come to faith in Christ, and we are constantly praying for you to grow in Christ, and it's going to happen just because God is going to fill you. Look at this. In the second sentence in verse 9, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Now, this is talk, the New Testament, and especially Paul's letters, talk about two very important points that Christians need in their Christian walk: gifts and fruit. Now, we talk about both of them here. The first portion, verse 9, talks about gifts. We ask God to fill you. That's a gift. It's not a fruit. We want God to fill you with what? The knowledge of his will. Who wants to know what God's will is for their life? We all want to know. Is it a fruit that develops over time? Well, the knowledge of what God's will is in our life, we learn in stages maybe, but it's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's a gift. God gives us knowledge. God gives us wisdom. You've probably had opportunities when you've been talking to a Christian friend, or maybe not a Christian friend, where you've been wondering what to say. And you think, oh, I don't know what to tell them. And you just speak the right word. And they go, wow, how did you know that? Or that's just what I needed to hear. Thank you for giving me that. And, you know, we all study, we pray, we, you know, we read our Bibles, we come to church, and we learn things, but there's that special something that Paul is praying for the believers at Colossae and for us as well, that is a gift that God drops into our minds, into our hearts, at just the right time. And it has two functions. One, well, maybe three. One is to bless you and help you to grow, and that's what Paul's praying. But it also helps the body. Gifts are usually not individual blessings so much as they are to benefit the body. And they usually help in when you're in fellowship or in church or in Bible study. Those kinds of things are gifts that God drops right at the moment at a special time. And this is a little bit different, though, where these kind of gifts are to help the Colossian believers as they're young believers to have some wisdom, to have some knowledge. And the Holy Spirit gives them that, and that's what Paul is praying for. And why does he do that? So that they can be super spiritual? So they can go, hey, I know Jesus really well. Hey, I know my Bible really well. I had this guy who sat in front of me in so many classes in Bible college. And sometimes he would turn around and say, hey, you got that wrong, and I can prove you wrong. I know the Bible. He would say that to me often. I'd go, okay, you got it. You got the Bible knowledge. He had Bible knowledge, but he didn't have the wisdom so much that God wanted. I think maybe we should have been praying for that guy to have some more wisdom. I was just going, okay, you're right, you got it. So wisdom without knowledge is not too cool. So Paul is praying that we have both. It's a gift that he gives. But look at verse 10. Why would Paul be praying for this? So that we can live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Now, when we get these gifts, it's part of our life. We need these gifts. We need wisdom. We need understanding. And these gifts help us in our daily Christian walk so that we can grow fruit. We can bear fruit in every good work. Now, verse 10 also in some other versions says, so that you may walk worthy, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord. So it's an active kind of faith that Paul is talking about. When you get these gifts of understanding and knowledge from Paul, when God fills you with these things, you don't just sit there and do nothing. Sometimes people become Christians and they don't want to come go to church. They don't want to go to Bible studies. They don't want to read their Bible. They don't want to pray. So what happens to them? They just sit and they're stagnant and they don't grow. And they wonder, where is the joy? I know some other Christians and they have joy in their lives. I know some other Christians and when they're at church, they're all cheerful. And even though they have problems, they seem to be doing okay. What's wrong with me? Well, you came to Christ, but that was the end. You didn't continue to walk in the Lord. You didn't continue to grow and bear fruit in the Lord. You didn't grow in the knowledge of Christ. You weren't strengthened. Well, how did I do that? Did I have to work and sweat and be really super active? Not really. It happens naturally as you fellowship, as you hang out with other believers, as you're in the presence of the Lord, when you're praying. And that's what Paul is praying here. This is not a list to weigh the people down that, you know, we get this list and we go, oh man, how can I do that? Well, it's not a matter of concerted effort that would wear you out. It's about being in the presence of God, being in fellowship with other believers, and just enjoying God's presence. Let's look at the list in Galatians chapter 5. And here's another list to make you worried. And we're studying this on at our home Bible study in my home with my wife and a friend. And we're looking at each one of these. And my friend is going, oh, man, joy? Okay. Yeah, someday God's going to bring me to that point. That's a tough one for me. And here's the list. If you have your Bible, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25, anybody who's been in this church for any time knows this list because this is Chris's closing prayer for us every time he's here. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So, yeah, we could read the rest, but that's enough for right now. No, let's go ahead and read the others. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, since we live by the Spirit, let us walk, right? There's that walking word again. And if we go back to Colossians, we'll see live in the Spirit means live a life worthy of Christ means walk worthy of Christ. It's the same meaning. And the Greek may actually be able to be translated that way. And this word fruit is something I want to look at because in the very first book of the Bible and all through the whole Bible, fruit is mentioned. The Holy Spirit uses fruit to help us understand what He desires for our lives. Turn with me. Well, you don't have to turn there. Let's just look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers." Very, very interesting psalm, probably written by David. The person who is blessed, the person who follows the Lord, is like a tree planted by streams of water. I would like to suggest that that tree planted by the streams of water is planted in good soil at a proper place. And I would like to think of that soil and that place and that water as the gift of God, the gifts that God has given to us believers. This is a real picturesque language of the believer. We're like a tree. But it's very interesting that trees usually don't move unless you watch The Lord of the Rings and you can see where trees do move around and beat up bad guys and stuff like that. And we read about the gifts. Paul is praying that the church at Colossae would get all the gifts of understanding and knowledge that God has for them. So what happens if you have that, if you're planted in the wrong place, if you have good gifts that God wants to give you? You're like a tree that's planted by streams of water. Not only do you know what to do, but you know what not to do. Look at the person who is blessed in this text. We know what we are to do. We know what we are not to do. The person who is blessed, who's trusting in the Lord, who's doing the right things, whose delight is in God, right? They don't walk with the wicked. But here's that word walking again. They don't stand in the way that sinners take. And they don't sit in the company of mockers. So we know what not to do, but also we know what to do. We know where our delight should be. Where should our delight be? In the law of the Lord. What's the law of the Lord? His word. His word. We need to study His word. But, you know, there's that list thing again. Kevin, I have to study His word? I have to read the whole book of Mark? No. Take a verse. Take a verse from Psalm 1. Take John 3:16. Take any verse of any Bible. Now, I'm not saying pull it out of context and make it your own, but sit down with a portion of Scripture. It's not volume that is the key. It's taking the right part of Scripture and just sitting down near that stream of water with Jesus and saying, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, fill me. You know, lately, you know, there was that time when I was full of You, Holy Spirit. I had Your wisdom and Your understanding. But lately work has been, school has been, life has just been so hard. I'm not full. I'm kind of dry. I'm going to meditate on your word and let you fill me so that I can bear fruit again. See how it happens? You get full of God. You get blessed by the living water, who is Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ fills you. And what does verse 3 say? That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, who yields its fruit in season. We want fruit right now, don't we? But fruit doesn't grow like that. Fruit grows in stages. It comes out at the right time. We want to be that perfect believer. And we struggle to check the list off. And we get frustrated. And we get all dry. And we come, oh my God, I'm so dry. That's what happens. Jesus talked about fruit a lot, and wheat and things. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Midori and I we got married really, really young. We were 22 when we got married. 22. How crazy is that? 22. We lived in Washington State. And I was just out of the Marine Corps, and God had called me into ministry and called me to Bible college. And we lived just outside of Seattle in it's a large suburb now, but it was a small town called Kirkland, Washington. And I had a newspaper route for a while early on. And I drove this truck. In the back was just, it was a van, big van full of newspapers. And I had this map, and I would go through the countryside and put newspapers in boxes. And in the fall, when I was driving through, I'd notice all the apple orchards. There were just apples growing everywhere. And I was thinking, oh, man, we're so poor. I would love some apples. So poor. We got no money. And I thought I could smell them. Maybe I couldn't, but, and I would see these apples, in the fall, and they were just so many. And I thought, can't the farmer spare a few, And they were just so heavy that some of the branches were propped up with wooden, looked like crutches almost. They were V-shaped pieces of wood, and the branches were so heavy that they would prop them up like that. And they were just big. Sometimes not so big. Maybe it was the kind of apples, but there were so many. And then I would drive some other places, and the orchards weren't tended. There were kind of weeds growing up and everything. But even then, the trees were just full. And I was thinking, man, it'd be nice to get some of that. And I went back to Bible college, and we lived in some apartments called the Firs, and talking to a friend, and he was a year ahead of me in Bible college, and I said, Bob, man, there's so many apples out there. Sure, I'd like some. He says, oh, I know there's an orchard over there where the guy doesn't farm them anymore, and we can get all you want. I'll go talk to him. You want to go pick some? We'll all go. Four of us will go. His wife, Bob, and Midori and I. I said, really? He said, yeah, we'll talk and we'll get together. And we went out and we picked apples, and we put apples in jars, and Midori made apple pies. I was sick of apple pies for about a week, and then I wanted more apple pies, but we had apples everywhere, free. We'd just go out there and pick them, and they were so many. And they were free. And, when we ran out, I was thinking, wow, let's go back out. And no, they only come out once a year, So many. Much fruit. And the orchards where the apples were sold, I'm sure that's what they were for, the market, were perfect, and pretty and just lovely. But the ones we got were a little bit kind of ill-shaped and not all the same size, but they were there, and we would just pick them in the fruit. And so that's how it is with us. You know, we just are in the proper soil. We're close to Jesus. We're being watered by His Holy Spirit. We're spending time in the right climate, in a manner of speaking. And the fruit just grows. We don't have to strain to make the fruit grow. We don't have to pray, Jesus, I want more fruit. You don't pray like that. You just, here I am, Lord, fill me. I pray for Bob's pastor. Touch him, Lord. And when I'm done with all these prayer requests, I'm going to call a friend. I'm just going to sit in your presence and let you fill me. And then I'm going to walk with you. It's very important that you walk. A story from the Old Testament. You know, I'm not saying that you just sit and do nothing as a believer and not do anything. Moses was told to go to the Red Sea and do what? What did he have to do before it parted? He had to put his foot in the water, or it wouldn't have parted, right? Jesus, part the water, or God, part the water, and then I'll put my foot in. I don't think that's how it worked. He had to exercise a little bit of faith in God, and he put his foot in the water, and the sea parted, right? And that's what it is with us. Paul was praying for the Colossian believers to be filled so that they could live a life worthy, bearing much fruit. And here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, I don't know what version of the Bible you read, but there's a better word than remain. If you... Tim?
Abide.
Yeah, abide. Yeah, if you abide in me. What's an abode? An abode is a home, right? Yeah, if you live in me. Remain in me is good. Stay with me. But abide means to live in me. And it's reciprocal, too, because Christ lives in us. But if you abide in me, if you're living in me, then you will bear much fruit. It doesn't say if you work really hard and check off all those to-do things, if you're enduring, if you're A, B, C, D. If you have peace, if you have love, if you have joy, then you'll bear much fruit. It's not what it says at all. If you're planted and your roots are going down into the living water, back it. All right, let's see if I can get it back up there. If your delight is in the law of the Lord, you'll be planted like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. Going the wrong direction, huh? Sorry. If you're really working really extra hard to get this fruit developed, you're going to wear yourselves out as a Christian. And it's not going to be a comfortable walk. If you're struggling to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to wear yourself out as a Christian. You're going to be really frustrated. I was so thrilled. I was so excited in Sunday service. And then I went home and my computer wouldn't start. Ah, no, not again. Windows. Ah. Okay, I was just filled. Now my cup got emptied. What do I do? You relax in the Lord. You don't struggle to be filled. You don't struggle to produce fruit. You relax in Him. You spend time in His presence. And you tell Him honestly, God, this is where I'm at. You know, excuse me for saying this from the pulpit, but we say this, right? Life really sucks right now. It's really bad. It stinks. Fill me. I'm not producing any fruit. I want some. You said, you know. Let me tell you what's very interesting about this prayer of Paul. Paul prayed these great prayers, right? And most of his introductions, all 13 of his books have these kind of introductions where he's praying and he's thankful. He did that so well. Just Galatians doesn't have that kind of introduction. All the other ones do. Paul prayed so well, and the churches loved to hear that Paul was praying for him so much that the early believers got a little misguided. You know what the catacombs are? The catacombs are in Rome. They're underground areas where the Christians were buried. And the early Christians wrote all kind of... They used to go in there and hide once the persecution started. And they would have church services there, and they would write messages to one another there. And some of the inscriptions on the wall from these early Christians say things like... And this is after Paul and Peter and those guys were already martyred. They would still write inscriptions on the wall. They would write their prayers on the wall. Paul, please pray for us in our suffering. Paul, please pray that we will be filled. And those kinds of messages. Or to Paul, the deceased Paul. They thought Paul's got eternal life, so he can still pray. That's how valuable they thought his prayers were for them. And he's right. They were right in a sense that it's good to have somebody praying for you. So even if you don't feel like you're being prayed for, Paul has prayed for the churches in the ages to come. Your pastors are praying for you. Your brothers and sisters are praying for you that you will be filled and you'll be restored someday. Just relax in the Lord. You can't earn the fruit of the Spirit. You can't earn your way to be filled by God's wisdom and understanding. I have a friend who lives in San Diego, and I tried to get her permission to put this little joke up before, and I'm sure she'll forgive me today. I won't tell you her name anyway. My friend put this on her Facebook page, and it's really, I thought, oh, the timing's good because I'm working on this struggling kind of sermon instead of just being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what she wrote on Facebook. I decided to take an aerobics class for seniors. I bent, I twisted, I gyrated, I jumped up and down, and I perspired for 1 hour. By the time I got on my leotards, the class was over. She hadn't even gotten into class yet, and she was already tired and worn out. So, is that what you're doing in your Christian walk? Are you bending? Are you twisting? Are you gyrating? Are you jumping up and down to try to please God? Are you doing all these things to try to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What are you doing? Maybe you need to stop. You need to take your Bible and go and sit down someplace really cool and comfortable. I have a suggestion. On Tuesday afternoon, I drove out to the river, not this river, a clean river in Yamaguchi Prefecture. And I have this folding chair, this camper kind of chair. And first I put the chair down in the shade, and I got a glass of something cold to drink, and the sun was about to go down over the mountains, but still quite a bit of daylight left. And then I took the chair, and I said, wait a minute. And I took the chair and I took my drink and I walked over to the river and I found a shallow spot and I put the chair down right in the river. And my feet were in the river. And I just sat back and I did nothing. I bet I grew some fruit. I bet I was being filled. I know I was. I was going, God, thank you for this moment. This is so good. It's so hot. But my feet are cool. I'm being restored. Being refreshed. And I did actually think, it's just physical restoration. But this is just what God wants us to do. He wants us to take our spiritual chair and go out and plant it right in the middle of the Spirit of Christ. And let the Holy Spirit wash over us. Cleanse us. Take all that junk downstream. Get rid of that. Well, God, let me run and get my Bible. No, just stay right here. But I've got my iPod in the truck. I can get some scripture. No, stay here. Huh? Just relax. Deep breath. Oh, Jesus, fill me. So that I can produce fruit again. It's too hot. Life is too hard. Right? No need to bend, twist, gyrate, jump up and down, or sweat to grow the fruit of Spirit in your life. Spend time with God, abiding and relaxing in His presence. Paul didn't pray that the Colossians would get busy and grow some fruit. That's not what he did. He prayed that God would fill those empty vessels so that they could grow fruit. He described what was going to happen to them after they were filled. He didn't prescribe that they do that. Do. He didn't do that. He didn't say that. He said, I'm praying always, constantly, that you'll be filled so that you can live a life worthy, so that you can walk. And as a result of that, be fit, produce fruit. And when you produce fruit, what happens? It's good for you. You take some of your own fruit and you grow and you nourish yourself on it. But what happens? The people around you are benefited by the fruit. They see your life in Christ. They see that times, things are tough for you, but wow, you're still living. You're still moving. You're still growing. Hey, that's good fruit. How do you do that? Hey, come to church, I'll show you. Hey, want to come to my Bible study? Hey, let's go to Starbucks. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm in the middle of the river. I don't do anything. I didn't do anything to earn this salvation. I'm not doing anything to grow this fruit. God loves me so much that He saved me and He filled me and He's growing this fruit in me too. Stop working so hard. You can't produce the fruit. God produces it in you in season. You can't plant the seeds in August and get them in September either. You got to wait. You know, it's the right time to plant the seeds, and you know, you water them and you let God water them. Spend time with God, abiding in Him and relaxing in His presence. That's it. That's it. Relax. Let God produce the fruit in your life. Let's pray. Father, we sometimes get off track. We want to please You, and we try to do it in our own strengths, and we just wear ourselves out. I don't know what kind of report Epaphras brought to Paul, but I think the believers at Colossae might have had a great desire to please You just like we do, Lord. And instead of allowing You to fill us so that we can walk worthy of You and the fruit can abide in us, we try to do things in our own strength, in our own flesh. And we just wear ourselves out. We actually get tired. We don't want to look at the Bible. We don't want to listen to Christian music. We may even avoid hanging out with other believers because we're just tired. It's not because Your plan has worn us out. It's because we've gotten off track, trying too hard to live the Christian life. Your plan, Lord, is to fill us as we open up our hearts and lives to You. You fill us with Your understanding. You fill us with Your knowledge. And then we're able to walk and we produce fruit. And that fruit helps us to endure. And it helps us in so many other ways. And the additional benefit is that others see the fruit. And their lives are affected as well. And that's Your plan. Father, let us not look at these lists as some old covenant kind of list that we must work hard to get done, or our sins won't be forgiven, or our God won't be pleased. Let us look at these lists as the new covenant way of looking at Your word. That as we abide in You, as we rest in Your presence, as we trust You, You accomplish these lists in us. All these things come to pass because of Your work in our lives. Father, I ask that you would touch each life here today. Father, bless each one, protect each one as we go from this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.